And back we go to open lines. We'll go west of the Rockies, Green Valley, Arizona. Tony, thank you for holding, and Merry Christmas, Tony.
Oh, hi. Santa came today, and I'm listening to you on my new CC radio. Tube.
I love it. How do you like it? Working out for you?
It's great. You're coming in loud and clear.
Super.
Yeah, I just had a couple real quick quotes for you. You were talking about Santa the other night and whether or not he existed and all that. And I remembered a quote I heard somewhere. I don't remember who said it. You go through three stages in your life. You believe in Santa Claus. You don't believe in Santa Claus. You are Santa Claus. And then the other one, also the other night, you were talking about the devil and whether he was real and what was his nature.
Yeah.
And I remembered a story I read. Two small boys, two young boys coming out of Sunday school. One says to the other, I don't know, do you believe in the devil? He says, no, it's like Santa Claus. It turns out to be your dad.
I love
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, George.
Tony, you have a great Christmas. And, of course, enjoy the new year, too. I don't know. What do you do on New Year's Eve, by the way? What do you do? I may stay in St. Louis. I may go back to L.A. I don't know what I'm going to do during my vacation week. But I am going back to L.A. soon enough anyway. Let's go next to Kathy in Glendale, California. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, George.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Give me a ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's it. Okay.
All right. I've listened to you off and on over the years and was always pretty skeptical of the stories I heard on your show, but I never called in before, but last night you absolutely made my hair stand on end and gave me the goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. What did we do?
Well, I was working on my computer last night, Christmas Eve, and flipped on the radio, and I was thinking of my dad. He passed away a few years ago.
Okay.
And my family was not well off when I was little, but when I was 7 years old, I begged Santa Claus for a bicycle for Christmas. 46 years ago, my father bought a beautiful English Huffy bike. It was in pieces and at a hugely discounted price from a wholesale warehouse, and he was madly putting it together for me on Christmas Eve. So when he gave it to me that Christmas morning, he played a song that we had shared since I was 3 years old called Scarlet Ribbons. Last night, you played that song.
Yep.
Just as I was thinking of my dad, and you said, if this doesn't get to you, I don't know what will. And, you know, Scarlet Ribbons is not really a Christmas song and not really a song most people even know about, but I don't know why you played it, but it was just as I was thinking of my dad. And when that song came on, I just started crying. So I still have that 45 single that my dad played for me over and over again. And it's by Don Elliott and the Lullaby Singers.
Oh, that's the old classic one.
Yeah, from 1959. And I would just love to thank you for playing that song. And, you know, you made my dad come alive. And by the way, I still have that bike.
That's great. Good for you. You're going to make me tear up now, Kathy.
Oh,
jeez.
You know, I can't stop crying. You just did it for me.
Have a good Christmas.
You do the same. Thank you.
Roger Lear, one of our favorite guests on Coast to Coast AM, spends half his career looking inside the bodies of people. Don't you, Roger?
Hi, George. Merry Christmas.
Hey, you too. This is the first time you've called me, and you didn't have to put on some voice to trick me.
That's right. It's a surprise. I may not even recognize my own voice.
Now, how did you like that introduction? You look at the inside of people's bodies for the rest of your life.
Well, I want the audience to understand that these bodies are alive.
It makes you even stranger, Raj. How are you? Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Well, the same to you, George. I'm fine out here in the Los Angeles area, as you know. About 38 degrees here in Thousand Oaks.
Wow!
And temperature is falling.
That's almost as cold as St. Louis. It's about 23 in St. Louis right now, but that's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. We've had as much as a 40-degree shift in temperature from day to nighttime temperatures. It was in the mid-70s today, and now it's dropped down in the 30s.
Well, maybe when I come back in a week or so, I'll bring some weather.
Well, bring some weather and bring your coat.
And I bring my coat. So, Raj, how about a great Christmas story from you? I'm sure you have
one. Well, yeah, I have one. It's a little bit of a tearjerker with a happy note. And unfortunately, we don't have time to tell the whole tale. But something happened a couple of years ago. We had a very dear little white rabbit pet, which we called Mrs. And she passed the day before Christmas. And we were told by a number of people who have caged animals, don't do anything to the cage. Don't move anything. You know, don't move her dish or don't move her bed, anything, because the spirit hangs on. Well, I never heard anything like that before about an animal, but we loved her so much that we didn't. We just left the cage as was. Now, this little rabbit had certain habits, and one of the things that she did was when her pellet dish, if the food was empty, she would kind of take it with her nose and shove it under her little bed, which is, you know, a little cloth bed she slept in. And the little container containing the pellets was sitting out. It was just as she left it when she passed on. Well, Christmas night, Christmas Eve, one of the things that happened was before we went to bed, we have a fireplace with some a white, whitish tile in front of it. And
yeah.
This was all cleaned up. We know for sure, my wife and I know that there's absolutely nothing there. So we were getting ready to shut off the lights and go to bed. And I turned around and I said, oh, my gosh, what is that? And we looked, and there was a little round pooper there from a rabbit. And I said, my wife looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, we have no explanation of this. So anyway, we put it in a little vial and put a cap on it. The next day, when we got up in the morning and we went out to the kitchen and not paying attention to much of anything, about 11 o'clock, Christmas Day, we looked in the cage and that dish that she used to eat out of was underneath the bed.
I love it.
You know, I said, this is a long story because it goes on what happened later and how we replaced her eventually with another rabbit. It's quite a story.
There's magic there, Roger.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a great Christmas. We'll be talking to you in the new year, my friend.
Okay. Take care, George. Have a great one.
Dr. Roger Lear. Next up, we go to Gary in Orlando, Florida, east of the Rockies. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, George. Let me get right to the story.
Okay,
let me set first the environment where this happened. This is in California on the Hollywood Freeway where the Burbank overpass is and the Ventura Freeway meets into the Hollywood where you can go into North Hollywood or go into Ventura.
I've been on that, yep.
Okay, right there is the Universal Studio City. Now, I'm driving my truck. This happened in 92, 93, summer, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in lane number 6, and there's about 10 lanes if you count the other two where they push the cars aside.
Right, yeah.
Okay, now.
Which happens a lot out there.
Yeah. Now, this is about 8:30 at night, and people who were there at Universal Studio during the daytime, they're all leaving. And there is so much traffic, it is just insane. Now, I'm watching in front of me, I'm in lane number 6. There's a guy on all black on a black motorcycle, and he's going to go into lane number 7. And I have this voice that I listened to. It said, keep your eye on this fella on the motorcycle. So he goes from lane 5 to lane 7, and as he does that, the guy in lane 8 hits him. He goes over sideways. Something completely took over, which I call my guardian angels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I slowed my truck down, driving next to him so he wouldn't get hit or run over.
You're guarding him, huh?
Pardon me?
You're blocking him, really.
Right. Now, all of a sudden, he comes to a stop. The other car that hit him kept on going. All right, I jump out of the car, and I'm in the middle of the heaviest part of the freeway. So something says, pull my car sideways and put on a blinker. I do that. I jump out of the car. I pick the guy up with his motorcycle, and I said, how am I going to get across all these lanes to get the guy to safety? All of a sudden, all the cars with their engines fully racing and floored came to a complete stop in a dead line.
And what happened?
It gave me the opportunity to take the fella and bring him over to safety, to lane, you know, that where, you know, you park the cars that get hit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do that, and I'm going, how am I going to get back over? And I can hear, but I'm not paying attention because there's, like, no time. And I can hear all these cars, they're racing, and I take a look, and there's about maybe anywhere from 100 to 200 cars, and they're all stopped. So I kept saying to the guy, and he wouldn't take off his helmet. And I go, are you hurt? Do you need to go to the hospital? I'll take you to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What do you need? Are you okay? And he just said, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. And so I said, okay, you're sure? You know, and I spent, I don't know, it seemed like 5-10 minutes, which was probably not. So anyway, I said, I got to go, man. I said, you know, let the Lord be with you. And so I'm trying, I need to cross back over to get over to my vehicle. And all of a sudden I realized these cars are still parked with their engines racing like if they were floored and going 65 miles an hour, but they weren't moving. The whole freeway had completely stopped.
Amazing.
So finally I get into my vehicle, and it was like, no one understood. They knew something had happened, but they couldn't figure out what it was. But nobody would go forward with their cars until I did.
I left him
in the hands of his angels and with the Lord. And I never found out what happened. He didn't give me his name or anything. But you want to talk about angelic
intervention.
They stopped the whole freeway, and I wasn't the only person to see this. I couldn't have been.
It was like they just waved the magic wand over them all,
and it was the most you know, when this happened, before my guardian angel, I need to get that story out to the Coast to Coast for people who are either believers or not believers, or whatever your opinion is. But believe me, there is so much intervention going on. If you only listen to that other voice that says, no, don't turn left, turn right.
And you have to react to it, Gary.
This was one of those incidents where it saved a life. And maybe it helped other people who were in those cars that could see what was going on. Maybe it changed their attitude towards things.
Well, and if you don't believe in an angelic intervention, you sure will after a story like that, stopping all those cars on the freeway. There is one person that I admire, not for his work, not for his books, but for his heart. Because he gives more than he receives, and it's Danion Brinkley. Danion, how are you? Merry Christmas.
I'm great. Merry Christmas, George, and thank you. And I'd like to start out by getting everybody just to stop for one moment and think about our girls and boys and men and women in combat tonight, you know, defending this country no matter how crazy it is, because, like you said, I live among them, and tomorrow I'll spend the day with these guys going through rehab, and that everybody just stops that one moment and opens their heart to these guys, these men and women, because they feel it. I have two quick stories, George. In 1975, when I was struck by lightning, I never thought I was going to make it. And when they sent me home, I spent a lot of days not being able to move. And the first time I got out to go anywhere was to leave the house, learning to walk again with crutches, was Christmas, to go to my mother's. And I sat there in December 1975, and I watched the family, and I watched it from that place, that second-person place, because I wasn't quite back to living in this dimension. I was living in other dimensions as I repaired, and seeing the love and the joy and the spirit inspired me that no matter what it took, which was another year and a half before I could walk and I could not pass out, you know, and it took me 2 full years. So every Christmas, I think back to that Christmas of hopelessness and what a family inspired and what it took for me to get to that house and how long it took me to try to stay awake and to be normal. And it's where it inspired me. And then the other day, I spent last weekend, George, at the VA hospital.
As you spend many weekends.
Yeah, in West Los Angeles at hospice. And, you know, from Thanksgiving to New Year's, so many people leave. And I lost 3 guys in 2 days. And it really made me appreciate the fact that I made it. You know, that I made it and have had the privilege and disprivilege of seeing what comes next. And the wonders and the beauty of the afterlife has inspired me to do this work. I get home, and I was going to spend at home in Las Vegas. And I turned the television on the other night on Larry King, and he had Sanjay Gupta. He had Denise, Souza, and he had Deepak Chopra.
Yep.
And this conversation is about a bunch of doctors beginning to open up the paradigm to literally prove life after death. And they're arguing it with Michael, the typical skeptic, and he didn't have a chance in heck. And I think that this is the best Christmas, because I'm almost 60 years old. I made it 35 years through 2 lightning strikes, open heart surgery and brain surgery, and lost that fear, and have seen science coming and stepping up to the plate. And so I think this is the best Christmas I ever had, and 1975 was the second best. And to everybody, just like the story of the gentleman that I just heard before me, it is so easy for me to believe these stories with what I've seen in my life. It's so easy for me to believe it. And I believe if we all take this time like you and open up these lines and open our hearts up and realize that there's 306 million of us against probably 2,000 that's trying to take control of our minds, our hearts, and dictate our existence. I think that the near-death experience and the science that's moving forward today to really generate the consciousness of an afterlife instead of an arcane set of principles and ideals, I think that is what's going to inspire us. And this Christ consciousness, this caring and giving consciousness, is so important for all of us to use today. And I just thank you so much for giving me that chance to give that shout out to those people serving. And tomorrow for the English is Boxer Day. And it's the day that you pack up all your old stuff to get rid of it for the new stuff that you got for Christmas.
And that's what we should do.
And I hope everybody takes Boxer Day and checks on the veterans.
You got it. Happy New Year to you too, Daniel, and Merry Christmas. Hey, do you have StreamLink? Well, you can sign up for it by going to coasttocoastam.com, pennies a day. You get downloads, podcasting of some incredible programs, archives 3 years back. That's going to be expanded even more. And then your iPhone app as well. It's a great way to listen to coasttocoastam.com on the run. Back in a moment with your stories on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our special edition Christmas program on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. to the phones we go now. We go to Homewood, Illinois. Hey, James, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. This is great to be on. I never thought I'd be on here.
Well, you waited long enough. I think you were on hold over an hour, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Good for
you. This is the greatest Christmas present I could ever get.
Well, just because of that, the platform is yours, James.
All right. Well, I've only been listening for a year, and I have to say that just listening for this year, I've just opened my mind so much. You've opened my mind spiritually and mentally altogether.
Super.
And I guess I bought your book for my uncle this year, The Journey to the Light.
Mm-hmm.
And before I gave it to him, I ended up just sitting down and just reading through the whole entire book. And I loved it, actually. I thought the stories were amazing, and it really helped me a lot, and I thought it was great.
Well, you know, James, and as the longer you listen to Coast to Coast, you'll find that those stories come in on a regular basis. They are truly remarkable and compelling, just what's happening to people all around this planet right now.
I know. It's great. It's like I was very, like, closed-minded before, but, like, I don't know. It's just like coming to a whole new world.
And, let me ask you something. By opening up your mind over the past year, how has that changed your personal life?
Personal life?
Yeah.
You know, I've always found it really hard to express myself. Like, I had a hard time talking to people, and, like, I always have a hard time, like, expressing myself. But, mm-hmm. like, but when I could sit people down and explain things to them and, like, try to do it, like, I don't know, I could convince people that, like, there's more out there than what you really is presented in everyday life.
Absolutely.
You know?
So you find that expanding for you now?
Yes, very much so.
That's great.
So what I did was for Christmas, I bought my uncle the book and I read it. And yesterday, well, actually, I sat my mom down on the day before Christmas Eve. And, you know, David, what's his name? The guy who did the water consciousness thing.
Not David Wilcock.
No, God, I was just thinking of it the other day. He was just on your show the other day talking about 2012, his predictions. Shoot.
In my memory goes sometimes, too.
Yeah, but he was talking about water consciousness, and I sat her down. It was David Sirita, that was it.
David Sirita, okay, that's
yeah,
right. He,
was,
he came
I really
in
liked,
for
I really
he came
liked
in
him,
for
and really like, I really like him and both with David Wilcock. They're both pretty good guests.
Yeah.
I sat my mom down and had her listen to one here. One about water consciousness, and she really liked that. And then last night when we were sitting down at Christmas dinner, she said something to her water, and everybody was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I had to sit there and explain to them about your show, and it was really good, and I felt really good about it.
You need to Google a scientist. His last name is Emoto, Emoto.
Yeah. I watched the movie.
Okay. You've seen what he does with water. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's great.
There's got to be something
really, that's
to
the
it.
Story. Like, I gave my uncle the book, and I hope he really enjoys it.
Okay, James, you have a great Christmas and a good New Year.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Let's go to New Orleans. Carrie, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Carrie.
Hi, George. Oh,
hey.
Boy, big fan, longtime listener.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be on the air, and I waited a long time, too.
Yes, you did. I think you went over the hour mark, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about Christmas stories, and I felt compelled, you know, at the time that I made the call, that I had to call and tell you about this horrible, terrible Christmas that we're having this year.
No.
Oh, it's awful. But I know that I'm not alone, and there's like a lot of people out there not having a great time.
That's true.
And it's sort of a conflict because, like, the Hallmark Corporation tells you that you're supposed to be really nice today and you're supposed to, you know, spend money and buy things and give them to people and be around people that love you. And then there's this whole spirit of Christmas, which is this sort of elusive thing if you don't have a whole lot of faith. And it's kind of like spinning plates.
Well, and you know, Carrie, it's not about spending money. As far as I'm concerned, it's about caring for people first and foremost. I mean, if you get something for someone, and it's a gesture that the you know you think they need something or you want to do it out of your heart, that's great. That's what Christmas is all about. But you know, I'd rather have a nice little dinner with family and give them a hug and a kiss goodbye, and you know, and be at their side whenever they need you. That's what it's all about with me.
Me too, except that I have none.
No family at all?
Well,
you've got us.
They're quite far away, and we don't have like a connection. But I do have my son, and it's just been the two of us for years and years and years. And there's been other players that have, you know, come in, you know,
popped in and popped out
in our life. Yeah, and disappointing. And the most recent one, we just fled from on the 8th. Beat us up really bad.
Oh, no.
Ended up going to jail. And
was this some guy you were dating?
Oh, some guy, yeah. I'd known him for a long time. He watched my son grow up. And, you know, so I thought that I was really choosing well. And we were together for a year. And during that time, basically, he just sat around drinking beer and criticizing us and picking fights and being violent.
No, that's not good. His issues should not fall off into your life, and that's his problem.
Right. Well, you know, luckily he was in jail just long enough for us to borrow enough money to flee, and now we're in a safe place, and we're warm, and we're dry, and we have lights for now. I don't know for how long.
So what kind of new year are you going to have?
I'm sorry?
What kind of a new year are you going to have?
Oh, well, you know.
Anything's got to be better than 2009 for you, right?
Yeah, exactly, right. Yeah, it's been a pretty big smash up. But, you know, I feel like I wish that there was more of a community for those of us that are, you know, sort of dreading this season when the Christmas music starts playing, like right before Halloween. And, you know, you're going, oh, God, this is going to be awful. I can't wait until this is over. You know, rather than be all Scroogey about it and walk around, you know, with the like sort of hunched over shoulders, I wish that there was some way to have a better sense of humor about it and to get through it a little bit more easily.
Well, let me ask you, how long have you listened to the show, Carrie?
Off and on for years and years and years.
Okay. I think, you know, not to be self-indulgent here, but I think that this group of people who listen to this program on a regular basis have become a community bar none. And do you have a computer?
Nope.
Let me tell you something. If you get a computer, I want you to go to the NighthawkZone.com. It's free. It's a chat room. And they are some of the nicest, intelligent people that represent Coast to Coast AM. Okay? They just happen
What's
to like
the name of it again?
NighthawkZone.com. They named it after me. I used to be the Nighthawk in St. Louis, but it's just NighthawkZone.com. Go ahead and register for it. It's free. They don't charge you anything. And, you know, you can chat with them during the show. And, you know, eventually you got to get a computer, Carrie. You know,
I had one. It got destroyed.
By him, right?
Yeah.
Maybe did you step on it or throw it? Well, pick up a used one. Maybe you can get somebody out there to donate one to you. I'll tell you what we'll do. In the spirit of Christmas, I'm going to put you on hold. I want you to give Miranda your phone number and address, and I guarantee you somebody will email me with a used computer that we will make sure is sent out to you. You want to do that?
That would be so wonderful.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold. Miranda, you get her address and her phone number. And somebody out there in the audience that has a used computer that you don't need with a keyboard and a little monitor, I'll pay for the shipping. You ship it, and I'll take care of it. You just email me, and I'll mail you a check, and let's get her a computer. And you go to the NighthawkZone.com on a regular basis while you're listening to this show, and you talk about wanting to share things with people. They'll get you through this. And another person who's gotten us through all kinds of stories is an investigative mythologist who has handled some of the most incredible issues of our time, William Henry. Merry Christmas, William. How are you?
Merry Christmas, George. It's wonderful to talk with you.
You too. I'm looking forward to running into you at another conference sometime.
How about Los Angeles, February?
That's it. Conscious Life. We'll be there. Let's spend some time with each other this time, too. You and I are always crossing in our in the breeze, other than a panel or two that we're on.
I'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Christmas to you. What's it mean, William?
Well, I grew up in Detroit, so we always had snow, lots of it. And
it's my hometown, too. You know that.
Mm-hmm. My family was really into Christmas. Presents, decorations, Santa coming through the Stargate, the whole works. And it just, to me, it always began when we'd go to Frank's nursery, pick out the tree together, and then we'd decorate it together. And I loved the cartoons, Rudolph, Little Drummer Boy. But to me, when I think back on Christmas memories, we weren't a particularly religious family, but we did go to church together on Christmas Eve and Easter. And on Christmas Eve, we'd always go to the late Mass, the late service, the Christ Mass. And to me, it was always just such an adventure to stay up late and hang out with the adults. And I loved all that. And especially our church was an old kind of Gothic church, very old worldish. And this midnight service was candlelit and had an amazing otherworldly or supernatural feeling to it. And I just remember thinking back a lot, sitting back in that giant candlelit womb. It was kind of scary, but it definitely put the spirit into Christmas. And I just always connected with that and remembered that.
Well, you have touched so many lives with your work. And what do you have in store in 2010? What are you going to be investigating?
Well, I'm moving forward. There's a lot of people that want to know about Ascension, its connection with 2012. What are some things that we can be doing spiritually to move through some of the difficulties? I mean, there's a lot of people that are feeling like there's forces of just what they think of as tyranny, governments and others using economics and propaganda, psychological and spiritual warfare, all aimed at, it seems like, at denying our freedom. And so what I'm looking at are ways that we can move through this kind of mystical crisis and fight for a truly free humanity all around the world.
Good for you, William. You have a great new year, my friend.
You too, George. I'll see you in February.
Absolutely, William Henry. Now we go to Columbia Falls, Montana. Santa Bob is with us. Hey, Santa Bob.
Well, Merry Christmas, George. How are you?
I'm wonderful. On a day like today, how can you not be?
That's the truth. That is so much the truth. It's about 10 below here, and we're just loving every minute of it.
You got those old heavy parkas?
You betcha. And some muckalucks for the feet, and a log on the fire, and all is right with the world.
Oh, that's great. How do you guys heat? Gas?
Yes, we have gas. And most everybody has little wood stoves, you know, just in case something happens to the utilities. They burn a lot of wood.
Oh, yeah. A little backup in everybody 4x4 vehicles?
Oh, you betcha.
Got to have that. How's your Christmas been, Santa Bob?
It has been marvelous. I work for a company out of Cherry Hills, New Jersey, and I have missed 16 of my daughter's 17 birthdays. And I decided I'm just going to take this time off, this year off, and I'm going to celebrate it with my daughter and my family and just take it from there.
Good for you. Now, they come to Montana, or you're going out that way?
No, they're all right here in Montana.
Okay.
So
take a little time. That's it.
You bet. You bet.
You know what? You have to do that.
Yeah. Smell the coffee, you know?
I spent my Christmas today chasing my 2-year-old grandson, Gavin, all over the house.
Oh, isn't that fun?
This kid has got energy. He reached into my pocket. He took my keys out. He thought he could open up every door with these keys. He couldn't understand why they didn't work.
Oh, isn't that great?
Oh, man.
Oh, they are so cool. They're really, really cool.
Then we couldn't find him. He was hiding in the dining room hutch.
Oh, that is so cool. That's nice. Well, the little ones that is so nice.
Yep, they're precious. You have a great new year too, Bob.
Well, thanks a whole bunch.
You got to give me a ho, ho, ho.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, George, and all of the family, all of the 600 AM family. But I have to tell you a story, real quick one.
Oh, okay, sure.
I was in Atlanta a couple of years ago, and this little boy came up to me, and he was about 6 or 7, and he said, "Oh, Santa," and I got him up on my lap, and he's telling me what he wants. He would like a Red Ryder BB gun, and he'd like, you know, some MP3 stuff. And in the middle of telling me his list, he stopped, and he went, "Oh, Santa, is it true that you used to drink beer with my grandpa?" and I laughed. And the father was standing there, and he went, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I did, and I told him, you know, don't apologize. This is fun, you know. And he said, "My father keeps telling this kid that don't give milk and cookies to Santa. If you really want him to come back, leave him a beer. He'll come back." So there you go. There's one for you.
I love it. Take care, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, Merry Judy Christmas. In Galveston, Texas. Hey, Judy, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, George. You know, have an excellent name for broadcasting. George means the farmer. So you cultivate a lot of ideas and plant seeds, and it's just absolutely out of this world what you do.
Well, I'm enjoying myself, and I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I can.
Well, we are so blessed to have you, and it's such an honor, and I'll make this very fast because I know there are a lot of people. My husband had passed away from cancer a few years ago, and one of the things that we had talked about all through living in Texas for 25 years, especially in the Galveston County area of Texas, is that it never snowed. And it just so happened he had passed in August. But Christmas morning, there was snow on the ground, and it was just absolutely, you know, surreal. And I just wanted to ask also, you know, everyone listening, can we use our collective consciousness to help heal those who are sick, to help anyone and everyone find their way if they're lost, and to visualize goodness over evil wherever it exists? And we will see God's miracles in action, folks. Just believe, and you will experience it, and you will see it. And God bless you, George, and everyone there at the station.
You too, Judy. You have a great Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Let's go to James. Miranda's telling me that we might have a laptop for Carrie, who just called in. Hey, James, is this you?
Yep, it's me.
We got a laptop for her?
Yeah. I gave one to my brother before, and he just got a new one for Christmas, and I heard her story, and I'd definitely like to help out. I'm in the Christmas spirit, and she sounds like she could use one, so I'd like to help her and her son out.
Oh, this is great, Jim. And you've got what, the little keyboard and a monitor for her, the whole works?
Yeah. It's a laptop. It just comes, it's all together.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Works with the plug-in cord. Yep. My girlfriend's mom was abused and stuff, so we kind of know how it is. And
you know what that's like.
Exactly. And
Do we know how to get a hold of you, and do you have her shipping address?
Yeah, I gave all my information in.
Okay.
And last Christmas, right after Christmas, we had a house fire, and we lost everything.
Oh, God.
So we know what it's like just to go through stuff when you don't have stuff.
Well, thank you, James. And any shipping charges and stuff, I'll back you up on that, okay?
All right. Yeah, that's fine.
Great. You have a great Christmas. How about that, Carrie? There you go. We'll work out the parameters. Miranda will take care of it, and Merry Christmas to you. We'll be back in a moment. 2 more hours to go of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.